Chapter 7, Let's Think Like Hawks, H-O-K-S. Who is that? You're about ready to find out. After leaving Lexus, our next stop was Hawks, a company that specialized in making electronic circuitry. Brad told us that of all the companies we would visit on our tour of Japan, Hawks would be the ultimate model of how lean thinking can transform a business. With $100 million a year in sales, Hawks is actually considered a small company. Located in the southern part of Japan, Hawks is an inspiring success story of a company that defied all odds by turning an annual loss of $10 million to an annual profit of $10 million. How? Of course, by implementing a lean strategy. I mean, a lean culture. I was looking forward to the visit and learning from someone who had come from the brink of bankruptcy to towering success. I'm going to go off script here again because remember, my company was always doing well. We really never had any big issues. Maybe a little bit we struggled from time to time with cash flow, but by and large, we were successful the whole time and we adopted lean. It's not uncommon, though, to see companies that are having lots of problems look for a tool or a resource to help them regain their momentum. And this is the case on what happened with Hawks. We arrived at 7 o'clock in the morning dressed business casual and no doubt expecting the same royal treatment we received from Lexus. There we stood, waiting for the lecture and the tour. The president, Mr. Manabe, greeted each one of us with a brush and a bucket. He then proceeded to gesture us all on the floor, along with other company executives, down on our hands and knees. That's right, to scrub the floor. Now, this was a new level of lean that I had never seen before, and as you can imagine, we were all a little shocked. The president of Hawks was going to demonstrate for us one of the basic tenets of lean, which is 5S-ing. First, I need to give you a quick overview. There are five principles of lean that business leaders are taught. These things, referred to as 5S's of lean, are a basic starting point for those who are new to lean thinking. The 5S's are sort everything and remove what is not necessary to the job at hand and get rid of all the clutter and junk. Straighten, a way to prioritize and organize the tools and resources needed for efficiency so that employees have easy access to their tools and supplies. Shine, number three, a clean environment improves morale and actually makes it easier to identify equipment deterioration and malfunction. Standardization. This involves building consensus in the workplace for best practices so that everybody understands what is expected and what is expected of them. Sustain. Find ways to keep the change in place. It is easier than you think if everything has a place and every place has a thing. I mean, everything, even the salt and pepper shaker. And that's one of the extreme lean things we have at our company is you go to our lunch table and there's actually a little circle that says pepper in black and another circle in white that says salt, a place for the Windex and a place for the paper towels. You can't make a mistake in our place. It's called Pokioke. We mistake proof everything. So that's 5S-ing. Now back to the story of our Hawks tour. We were all on our hands and knees scrubbing the floor with the president of Hawks and his company executives. The president and director, Mr. Emoto, shared with us what it was like in the dark days when their company was facing bankruptcy. His decision to build a lean culture was a last-ditch effort to save the company. Feeling overwhelmed by the 5S's, he decided to implement just 3, sweeping, sorting, and standardizing everything. This man truly had a gift for simplifying everything. He understood that if you made things simple, I like him a lot because he thinks just like me, there was a much greater chance of people understanding and implementing the ideas. 5S-ing became 3S-ing. Every morning at 7 o'clock, his employees showed up to sweep, that's clean, sort, get rid of the ancillary things, and standardize everything. They did this without pay because they were motivated to save the company. In the process of engaging in those 3S's, a type of bonding among the company employees took place. The 3S's were simple and the results satisfying enough that a sense of accomplishment and ownership began to take hold. The president of Hawks had learned about lean and began to implement it in the simplest way he knew how. It demonstrated that a small improvement, even baby steps towards improvement, can pay off in a big way. What took hold of the employees was a type of compounding effect. As they cleaned, sorted, and standardized, they unloaded mountains of waste that were lowering their productivity. We were all shown pictures of the excess tables, chairs, and equipment that were removed from the work areas, mountains of waste that filled the entire back parking lot. The turnaround from $10 million in the red to $10 million in profit is nothing short of miraculous, but it happened as a result of a super simple plan of implementing 3S, not 5S. The momentum became addictive, and everyone involved began to carry a sense of pride because they knew it was critical to the survival of the company and integral to the ongoing success. The leadership wore the same uniform, scrubbed the same floors, and worked at the same stand-up desks as everyone else. Everyone was respected and treated as equals. Everyone engaged in continuous improvement, which brought more ideas and more engagement. Every morning, before they ever went to work, it was a company-wide 3S-ing. And at 8 o'clock, the president of the company called everyone together, and they played some cute little Japanese music and did stretching exercises. Then he talked to them about the important issues and principles regarding the company, and an hour and a half after the employees arrived for the day, everyone began to work on the actual manufacturing of Hawks products. Even after the company had recovered, Hawks employees proudly practiced 3S on a daily basis. Also noteworthy was that Hawks was competing very well against a comparable product from a Chinese company, even though Hawks had 17 times the labor cost as the Chinese company. A lean strategy will always yield a simpler, safer, and better product with happier and more involved employees. The time invested in people and their work environment is critical to the success of lean. Hawks is a shining example of that ethic, and they have enjoyed the success that comes with the discipline to sustain what they believe in. There were many other memorable things that we saw at Hawks. The most surprising thing was that everything was on wheels, including their desks. All their desks were made from Gemba pipe, meaning shop floor. Off script real quick, Gemba pipe is basically adult tinker toys. It's this pipe that's coated with plastic. It's about 1 inch in diameter. It has a bunch of black connectors that you can connect it together and make anything you want. So lean people use this a lot to make carts, to make shelving systems, and in some case, make desks. And of course, my desk is made from Gemba pipe. And if you want to see what that looks like, check out Lean Desk. It's one of my favorite videos. Back on script. So Gemba pipe made for a more flexible desk that was much taller. Another striking feature about these desks was that nobody sat at them. Everybody stood up. There were a few chairs around, but we rarely saw anybody use them. Everything was labeled and outlined, and I mean everything, including every electrical outlet, switch, and clock. It was amazing the sense of order and discipline, like nothing I had ever seen. After an extensive jaw-dropping tour through their facility, then a two-hour lecture by the Hawks president, I approached him, just like I had with the Lexus VP. I asked him, what happens when other companies like Nissan, Ford, Chrysler, and other Japanese companies come to see his company and what they've accomplished? He looked at me and said, Paul, smart people can't believe it could be this simple. There it was, in living color. My takeaway lesson about the grind that I was fighting at FastCap. If you feel like you're pushing a train or like you're spinning your wheels trying to make lean work, then you're doing it all wrong. Lean is simple to the core. You will dramatically increase the odds of failure if you overcomplicate it. It is not the maze of complex flowcharts and processes that today's consultants try to push on companies. In fact, the president of Hawks had reduced the most basic lean checklist from 5S to 3S and made it so simple that 100% of the team could understand it and achieve the goal. I'm going to go off script here real quick. I've noticed that now they've changed 5S to 7S. I mean, It's crazy. Remember I said earlier that people are kind of programmed to add, when the beauty of lean is it's really the art of subtraction. And Mr. Manabe really got that when he changed 5S-ing to 3S-ing. One other thing that I observe a lot when I tour other lean companies, you know, there seems to be almost like a secret code. There's a few people in the organization that really get lean or are part of the implementation staff. It really doesn't always trickle down to all levels. I think an important point is for lean to be accessible to everyone, that from the lowest level entry position, that everybody understands what lean's all about and they're on board with making it part of what the company is all about. And that's what I'm really trying to stress here. The art of subtraction, make it simple so everybody can grasp it. Back on script, the president of Hawks made his facility easy to understand through strong visual controls. He immediately involved his employees in the process of sorting and organizing their own workplace, and the end result was they survived and prospered as a company. This was because he created a culture of improvement using the 3S as the framework for success. FastCap's general manager, John Lussier, came with me on my second trip to Japan. We immediately began to plan and strategize. I now understood that we needed to take FastCap from the level of doing lean events to building a lean culture. And how would we build a lean culture in Bellingham, Washington? How could we recreate the Hawks culture at FastCap? One of our goals was to actually look like Hawks within 1 year. We were light years from that goal, but we believed that with a new focus on building a culture, anything was possible. This raised the next question and the topic of our next chapter. How does one build a lean culture? The one thing, smart people can't believe it could be this simple. You know what the president of Hawks said to me there was very interesting. He said, you know, you take engineers and you take these smart people who have MBAs and PhDs and they're running companies, and they believe that they've got to be able to use that high level of intellect and training in running a company. So it's almost offensive to them at the idea that you could run a company successfully by paying attention to such simple, mundane fundamentals as 3S-ing. But indeed, that was exactly the case, and that's exactly what we did at FastCap, and the results are nothing short of astounding. Now, we have a couple videos that I recommend for this one. One is called The Art of Subtraction, a very cool video, and Keeping the Rope Tight. I think you're really going to like that one. Chapter 8, Let's Build a Culture. I hope by now I've demonstrated how lean thinking can transform a business and a home. You should have a sense that lean is focused on the concept of eliminating waste through continuous improvement, and that it all begins by asking one simple question: what bugs me? I've also discussed how lean can become a grind when we are focused on the process instead of people. In fact, I believe that this is the point where most people give up on lean. They are 90% process focused and 10% people focused, when in reality, it should be 100% the opposite. I came away from my second trip to Japan with the clear conviction that in order for lean to work in the long term and to stick, I would have to build a lean culture. Without a doubt, this is the biggest challenge. How does one build a culture of continuous improvement? How do you get people to always look for ways to improve? Well, I have to admit, I was as ignorant as the next guy. I saw a shining display of a lean culture at Hawks, and that was how I wanted my company to look. I knew it had to be simple so that everybody at FastCap, from the shop floor to the office manager, could buy into it. I also knew it had to be sustainable, something that could become a natural way of thinking and would support and even reinforce our company and the employees' belief system. Our belief system was simple. We wanted continuous improvement and a focus on quality and the elimination of waste at every turn. We started the effort by imitating what we saw at Hawks, beginning with what we refer to as the morning meeting. At 8 o'clock every morning, we committed a very short time, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, to a gathering together before any production work could begin. We started with the most basic things, such as reading aloud the daily sales and reviewing the mistakes we made from the day before. We would open the floor to suggestions on how to prevent those mistakes and what new processes we might need to consider for improvement. Finally, we reviewed any new processes introduced from the day before and evaluated the effectiveness of those new methods. Those were the three or four things we did consistently every day. Then we had an idea. My wife, Leanne, realized how much the books we read influenced us. We were always reading some new book on the market, and on a daily basis, we'd find some time to discuss them. They were usually about business, self-improvement, or history. Our general manager, John, was also an avid reader, and the three of us often talked between ourselves and reviewed what we learned and liked or didn't like about each book. Some of our favorites have been Good to Great, Built to Last, Successful Habits of Visionary Companies by Jim Collins. We also like Built from Scratch, The Home Depot Story. As company leaders, reading and discussing the principles from these bestsellers gave us a point of reference for problem solving. It dawned on us that maybe involving the whole company in reading these books would help to unify our perspective. After all, we were trying to create a culture of problem solvers. In fact, my goal was to create a culture of the best problem solvers in the world, literally. So it made sense to share these pearls of wisdom from some of the most visionary business leaders in the world. We thought they should be shared with everyone at FastCap. So we incorporated into the morning meeting a bit of reading out loud from these great books. We would discuss certain highlights we came across and open the floor for discussion and comments. Even though we only read two or three pages a day, we were committed to the concept of learning together. We went through so many books. Some of our favorites were Raving Fans and The Purple Cow. We were relentless in our commitment to the process, and as a result, it allowed all of our people to be on the same page as the management team. Our morning meeting had evolved from just 5 or 10 minutes into 30 or 40 minutes as we reviewed the sales numbers, the mistakes, the improvements, and shared a few book club pages for reflection and consideration. Before long, our team members were starting to think the way we thought, since we were now literally on the same page. We were introducing our employees to world-class ideas and innovative leaders in the business world. Then we branched from self-improvement and business books into history. I love history, so I started to encourage our people to consider things from a historical perspective. How did people in the past solve problems? What were the factors that they considered before they solved the problems? This kind of critical thinking became integral to the building of a culture of continuous improvement. The first 3 months were hard work. It was like pulling teeth keeping everybody enthusiastic or even interested. We didn't get everybody on board, and some thought maybe we were a little crazy. Why were we wasting this first hour and a half of the day not building products? Why were we standing around a circle in this crazy morning meeting? After 3 or 4 months, things started to look pretty positive. Then after 6 months, because we didn't give up, just like a good diet, things really started to look good. And after 1 year, we were on fire. We were putting our money where our mouth is, so to speak. We weren't just talking about continuous improvement. We were teaching our people what it looked like on a daily basis. The first year we implemented the morning meeting, it grew and it morphed and it continually got better. As good as the morning meeting became, we made one more significant change after the first year. The meeting was always led by either me or John, my general manager. As demands on our time grew with our expanding business, we found that there were times when neither of us could be there because of our travel schedules. It was very difficult for the meeting and the substance of the meeting to be maintained in our absence. We decided we needed to teach our people how to lead a meeting, and what better way to do it than to let them experience it. Now we were really beginning to walk the talk. We decided that not only would someone else lead the morning meeting in our absence, we would rotate the duties of being a leader amongst our employees. We appointed a new person to be a leader every day. So now we're not only teaching our people about continuous improvement, but we were training people to be leaders. We took people who were as shy as church mice, who had never spoken in front of a group of people before, and we nurtured and trained them to do something they never thought they could do. Well, guess what? Did they feel good about themselves? They felt fabulous about themselves because they came to work every day and they saw personal improvement as well as improvement in their work environment and their workstation. This is the beginning of how we built a culture of continuous improvement. We build leaders every day at FastCap. During this tremendous curve in our company culture, my friend Jeff Koss, who also was working on building a lean culture in his business, introduced me to a powerful concept. He said, "Paul, if you want your people to move to the next level, start letting people tour your facility." I thought, that sounds like a real challenge. Are we good enough to have other people look at us as an example of what lean looks like? Jeff said, "When you're on stage all the time and when outsiders come to look at what you're doing, your people will naturally want to live up to the expectation. They will get better by default." So we began inviting and allowing other companies to tour our facility. What better way to show them our continuous improvement efforts? This proved to have other benefits that I never expected. Our people felt good about the fact that other people wanted to see what they were doing. As I discovered in human behavior, the number one thing that everybody really wants in life is to be recognized and told they're doing a good job. By inviting others to come and observe our company, we were saying to the world, "Look at what great things we're doing." It was like putting your best projects on display at the science fair for the judges. By providing a tour environment at FastCap, we were essentially communicating to our people that they were doing an exceptional job because people from all over the world were beginning to tour our facility. We've even had dignitaries and high-level politicians come through to see what we were doing. Why? Because we are delivering exceptional results at FastCap. We've never laid anyone off or cut salaries or pay rates. And in spite of the biggest economic downturn in the last 100 years, we continue to expand our business. We do business in 40 countries and counting. We are a highly profitable company with the highest paid employees in the region from top to bottom. We have a lot to be proud of. And sometimes in our quest for continuous improvement, we lose sight of that. Our success is due to the focus on building a culture of growing people. We don't just talk about it. We spend thousands of dollars every day training and teaching our people. Remember what the guy at Lexus said? This is known as putting your money where your mouth is. People who tour our plants ask, "What do you do for employee orientation?" Our response is, "Every employee is orientated every day they come to work." Most companies dust off the new employee manual and review it for a week or two, and then 90% of it is forgotten. At FastCap, we review our 9 goals, 14 principles, endless improvements, hundreds of products, every mistake, and every raving customer response we receive, history, culture, the Constitution, every day. We built that culture by investing time and money into training and teaching our people the value and rewards of improvement, going right back to what the VP of Lexus told me was the most important thing for any world-class premier company: teaching and training people. At the end of the day, each one of us has the job title of process engineer. Our job is not to build products, but to improve the process of how we build products. This is what makes us a distinctively lean culture. The order of improvements is equally important. First, we improve the individual. Then we improve the process. And then we improve the product by default. So you can think of it as IIPP. We improve the individual, the process, and then the product. We like to say at FastCap that we're in the business of growing people. The result of growing people is that we produce outstanding products. We work in an innovative environment where ideas are welcomed with the same enthusiasm, whether they come from the entry-level employee or the CFO. The expectation of every person at FastCap is that things will continually get better every day. The culture supports and demands it. This is how you measure progress of building a lean culture. smiles. You will see more smiles because it feels good when everyone is experiencing improvement and working in a clean environment. Nurturing people to be their best, taking the time to review results, listening to ideas for improvements, and learning together is what our morning meeting is all about. From the entry-level employee on their very first day of work, all the way up to the owner, we take on the process of learning and improving together. Nobody is given a pass. Nobody is left out of the expectation for improvement. That's how we started building our culture at FastCap. The morning meeting was just the beginning. The one thing, show me your checkbook and where you spend your money, and I'll show you what you value. At FastCap, we spend thousands of dollars every day teaching and training our people. Why? Because we know that if we do that, we will get the culture of continuous improvement that we desire. We will grow our people and ultimately we'll have satisfied customers. A great video to watch is the morning meeting. And we also have a document called the morning meeting document, which is the outline of our morning meeting. Because whenever people come into our facility, they're always asking, well, can I get an outline of that morning meeting? And we don't give anybody any paper because we're kind of paperless. We don't want to have anything to do with that. And if you want it, you can pull it from our website. It's all free. Chapter 9, Beyond the Morning Meeting. The morning meeting allowed us to implement the first stage of building a culture, which is teaching and training people. But we still needed to impart an expectation of continuous improvement. We needed people to make improvements on a daily basis so that we could produce a higher quality product at a lower cost, while also enjoying a regular sense of accomplishment in our work environment. Lean is not just about growing people so they feel all happy and involved. It is also about results, measurable, concrete results that show a continual pattern of improvement. How do we do that? If I told my people, hey, I want you to make one improvement a day, they'd look at me cross-eyed. Most would respond, I don't know if I can think of one improvement today. It sure sounds like a tall order, doesn't it? So I changed it again to something so simple. Remember the Hawks model. The beauty of their company was that they kept their process very simple in order to ensure the maximum buy-in from their people. I said to my people, just give me a 2-second improvement a day. That's it. That's all I ask for. 1 2-second improvement a day. There's not a person on earth, let alone a mouse or a hamster, that can't figure out how to improve something by just 2 seconds. I made the bar so low that everyone could jump it. And indeed, that's what happened. I began with the simple expectation of a 2-second improvement a day. But in order for me to make sure that people understood how they could possibly find a 2-second improvement every day, we came up with the next phase of building a culture of continuous improvement, the morning improvement walk. Everyone reports to work at 7:00 in the morning. Our morning meeting goes from 8 to 8:30. Technically speaking, my people don't really work at their specific jobs from 7 to 8. Instead, we reserve that time for 3S-ing. Remember those? Our 3S's are sweep, sort, and standardize. Sweep, clean their areas, sort everything, and remove anything that's ancillary and not necessary to the specific job, and then standardize everything. By committing that first hour to 3S-ing, every person is given the opportunity to find a 2-second improvement. Sorting through the clutter that tends to build up in our work area will always yield some kind of improved efficiency. Everyone knows that they have, at the very least, 1 hour from 7 to 8 to make one small improvement in their area of influence or workspace. In order to reinforce this idea, I began walking the shop floor every morning from department to department, greeting people saying, "Hi, Austin, what's your improvement for the day?" or "What are you working on?" When people tour FastCap, they say things like, "This is the cleanest place I've ever seen. You guys are fanatical. The salt and pepper shakers even have a label and are shattered on the lunch table." Our second step towards building a lean culture was a very simple process that absolutely everybody could buy into and participate in. We kept it simple enough and made sure to build it into the workday. There's not a place in the world that can't benefit from a 2-second improvement. Recently, I taught this 2-second improvement process to the staff at a city hall close to where I live. The first week, everybody came up with improvements, and some of the improvements saved hours a day. Imagine that. I was only asking for 2 seconds, but people were delivering hours of improvements. This is the magic of making it simple. When I explained the 2-second improvement idea to a consultant that I interviewed on my radio show, The American Innovator, I asked him if he thought it sounded like something that would work in any environment. Harry Kenworthy was that consultant. He said, absolutely. I said, well, why do you believe it works so well at FastCap? He said, it's simple, Paul. In order to make something stick, you must first set the expectation. Then you must inspect the expectation, and then you must reinforce the expectation. I didn't understand these 3 concepts from a business theory perspective, and I had not laid out the process with those steps in mind, but I was performing them without even knowing it. I expect my people to make a 2-second improvement, and then I inspect that 2-second improvement by doing the morning improvement walk, and then we reinforce that expectation by celebrating those improvements in the morning meeting. We've taken a step further to celebrate the really good ideas by videotaping them to play during the morning meeting. Before we did the videotaping, we would actually take the entire company to see the different improvements. That became a logistical problem because we had so many people to walk around and it took so long. Also, the areas where we were observing were generally small manufacturing cells, and only the people in the front could see and hear the demonstrations. When we decided to start cataloging the ideas on a video camera, we enjoyed 4 surprising benefits. The first was that we didn't have to drag the entire company around from department to department like a herd of cattle. The second benefit was that everybody could hear and see the demonstration by watching the video at the morning meeting. The third, the unexpected benefit, was that it began to sharpen the presentation skills of the people doing the demonstration. It allowed them to develop their ability to articulate their ideas and express themselves on camera, which is just a fantastic skill for anyone to have in this day and age. The fourth benefit is that we developed a powerful video library for teaching others what lean improvements look like. The cataloging and videotaping of our improvements also provided excellent promotional material. People who toured our facility could access these ideas for themselves by simply going to our website. This feature has become an excellent teaching tool for people outside of our company, and again, our own people are deeply gratified by the fact that people from all over the world are viewing their improvements and learning from them. My personal BHAG, Big Hairy Audacious Goal, is to change the world. And as you can see, my people are doing just that. The morning improvement walk became the second important aspect of building a culture of continuous improvement. And it has yielded more improvements than we ever expected. That is the nature of lean thinking, though. Its benefits keep on giving. Now, I know you must be wondering, Paul, you do that every day? The answer is yes. We have been doing this every day for over 5 years. We don't miss. It's a part of our culture. It's more important than building widgets or woodworking tools or anything else that we do, because we know if we have world-class problem solvers, it doesn't matter what we're building today or 5 years from now. We will have the capacity to do an excellent job at whatever is put in front of us. The biggest problem people have with the idea of letting their people come up with a 2-second improvement is trusting they won't screw something up or make the process worse. The answer is they will. They will make mistakes and become better problem solvers in the process. In order to do lean correctly, you must trust that the system will produce the desired outcome. Even if you hit a pothole or a rabbit along the way, the number one way people learn is by making mistakes. If you rob your culture of this experience, you will rob yourself of the boundless innovations that could await you. Remember, we are looking for small improvements, so the mistakes should be small as well. Each mistake and each improvement will become a valuable part of building a culture of continuous improvement. The one thing. 2 seconds will change the world. Notice I didn't say can. I know they will because it's happening in my company and people are affected worldwide. A couple great videos to watch regarding this issue is Lean, the morning improvement walk, and Lean Dust Control, a great example of a 2 second improvement. Chapter 10, Let's Do It in the Bathroom. At FastCap, we have a lot of fun. One of the funniest things we do happens during the morning tour we give our visitors. After they've had a chance to see our company in action, during the morning meeting and improvement walk, people always ask, "How do I get started? It seems so overwhelming." That's when I say, "Oh, it's really quite simple." And then I lead them to one of our 5 bathrooms. I open the door and say, "Walk in here, and I will show you how you begin to build a culture of continuous improvement." They look at me like I'm crazy and respond with, "Are you serious? Really? You want me to learn how to do this by walking in your bathroom?" I say proudly, "We have the cleanest bathrooms in the world. All of our bathrooms are identical because our bathroom is the standard for what we think lean should look like in the rest of our facility. We created a standard that was easy for everyone to understand. After all, the bathroom is the one experience that unites all of us, and most of us will use the bathroom 2 or 3 times a day. When we say that everything should look like the bathroom, people know exactly what we're talking about. Now, let me tell you what our bathroom looks like. This book is full of pictures. As a way of giving proof of our extreme lean ways, you can see in the pictures that each bathroom has a stainless steel rack in it with all the supplies necessary: toilet plunger, toilet bowl scrubber, paper towels, Windex, wipes, a mop, aspirin, saline rinse, basically everything we need on a daily basis to maintain our bathrooms and keep them clean. Now, of course, I'm going off script a little bit. You're listening to the audiobook right now, and all you have to do is watch Lean Bathroom and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. When we first began the transformation of our bathrooms, one thing we noticed was that we had several different kinds of cleaners and methodologies to get the bathrooms clean. It was not a standardized process. Some people like Windex, some people like 409. We had a whole variety of different kinds of cleaners and processes in which we clean the bathroom, which was absolutely the antithesis of what lean is. Remember the 3 S's we learned from Hawks? Sweep, sort, and standardize? Keeping track of everybody's favorite cleaner is craziness and adds too much complexity to a task that should be straightforward. Now, everything is standardized. On the door of every bathroom is a plastic laminated card that has a picture of the 6 steps necessary to clean the bathroom and a picture of the person who is responsible for cleaning it that day. At FastCap, we don't have janitors. We all clean the bathroom, including me. The bathroom stays perfect all day long because a consequential component of lean is respect for people. Leaving the bathroom cleaner than you found it, it is a very basic sign of respect and courtesy for others. The toilet seat is down, there is no pee on the toilet, no water spots on the mirror, and the sink is clean. This is the way every one of our bathrooms are left all day long. I promise you, I'm not exaggerating. You can walk in any one of our bathrooms at any time of the day, and they will look identical to what they look like in the morning after they were first cleaned. The reason is because there are 3 principles in play. Number 1, no pun intended, leave everything better than you found it. If that's the case, everything is continuously improving. Number 2, sorry, I couldn't help myself, respect for people. Simple things like leaving the toilet seat down is a basic courtesy that shows respect for others. When you leave everything better than you found it, you are naturally cleaning up after yourself and therefore making things better for others, which is a sign of respect for others. Number 3, create a standard that is accessible to everyone. We created our standard using a very basic model that everyone can relate to, the bathroom. The bathroom is visual and easy to understand. What better place to begin building a culture of continuous improvement than the bathroom? So number one, leave it better than you found it. Number two, respect for people. And number three, create a standard. My advice for people wanting to create a lean culture is to start in the bathroom and roll it out slowly from there. Go ahead, do it in the bathroom. Building a lean culture requires standardizing and simplifying everything. We settled on Windex because I'm Greek, and all Greeks know that Windex will heal and clean anything. If you don't understand this joke, watch my Big Fat Greek Wedding. It's an incredible movie and one of my favorites of all time. It's a running joke at FastCap. If all else fails, get out the Windex. Paul loves Windex. So we use Windex on our bathroom counters. We use Windex on our floors. We use Windex on our lunch tables. We use Windex on the countertops. We have one cleaner that does a great job for just about every surface. This is just one example of why the bathroom has been created as an excellent model of how to standardize and simplify. Back to the three S's. It's swept, it's kept clean in a very simple way, it's sorted, we got rid of all the ancillary products, and it's standardized. We use the same products in all bathrooms and the same checklist. As a matter of fact, everybody cleans a different bathroom every day. It rotates around and they can perform the task perfectly because everything is the same every place, no matter where you go, and that's 100% predictable. And that, frankly, eliminates waste. We made the process the expert, not the people. By doing so, we freed up our RAM memory for higher level thinking, for activities such as continuous improvement and innovation and problem solving. We do not clutter our minds and waste our time searching for mundane items like cleaning supplies and plungers. If you don't know how to start thinking lean, start doing it in the bathroom. The one thing, lean starts in the bathroom. And obviously, watch the lean bathroom video and you're going to love it. Chapter 11, how do I start? Some of you no doubt are disappointed. Surely the world-class business principle of lean manufacturing taught in MBA courses and premier universities throughout the world can't be reduced to something this simple and fun. I shared with you how lean has rescued companies from the brink of bankruptcy and transformed them into multi-million dollar profit-making engines. I've also told you of companies like mine that were incredibly successful before implementing lean and had all the trappings of greatness, and still lean has had a transforming effect on our performance and people. Now I'm asking you to consider lean thinking not only in your business pursuits, but also in your personal life. My team members tell stories of how they have used lean principles to interact with their children's teachers, real estate brokers, and all types of daily life contacts they encounter. Instead of the traditional shame and blame mentality, our people naturally ask, how can I improve this? How can I do this better? Average people are not used to this level of positivity. And lean thinkers are positive, action-oriented people. Lean thinkers drill down and do not accept the standard answer of, no, I don't think we can do that. Instead, we must improve the process and find a better way. Let me assure you, if implementing lean were a complicated process, then I would not be writing this book. I'm an energetic entrepreneur with very little patience for academic exercises and technical instructions or any kind of plan that requires tedious micromanagement. My goal is to get the word out to as many people as possible and watch the wave of improvement take over our companies, our communities, and our relationships at home. Your business and your personal life can radically improve, becoming better than ever, by putting into action the simple, universal desire for continuous improvement. The secret of world-class corporations like Toyota, New Balance, and FastCap is that they do a few things so well that nobody can catch them. It's like the Irving Berlin famous story about the hedgehog and the fox. The fox is very clever and can do a lot of things effectively. But the hedgehog knows how to just do a few things really well. The consistency of the hedgehog enables him to outfox the fox day after day. That's the beauty of lean. It's simple. How do you get started? First, I'm going to ask you to do a little research and familiarize yourself with what a lean company looks like. We have an incredible website at www.fastcap.com. Click on the videos tab and the home screen, and you'll find videos on everything I've talked about. The history of our company, the morning improvement walk, you name it, it's all there. My favorite, the lean desk, and the tours we give to visiting companies and the public. Start watching the videos. Soak in the energy we enjoy at FastCap. The second thing you need to do is take a tour. We have made every attempt to make the tour as available as possible through our website, thus making it as lean as possible. If it is at all possible, take the time and effort to visit a lean company to get a sense of the authenticity and power of a lean culture. There is just no substitute for a flesh and blood interaction with the people on site. Some of my favorites are Cost Tailored, run by my friend Jeff Cost in Everett, Washington, and Carl Waddenston's company, Vibeco, in Providence, Rhode Island. Remember, they're the guys with the vibrators. If you're in Bellingham, Washington, you're invited to visit us at FastCap. If you can't get to Japan, you might as well visit Toyota here in the U.S. at their plant in Lexington, Kentucky. They have a fabulous tour that is nothing short of breathtaking. There are thousands of companies all over the world that can provide these tours to you because integral to the lean culture is a desire to pay it forward. Once you begin to enjoy the fruits of a lean culture, you just naturally want to promote it to others. That's how good it is, and that's how you can measure if you're getting it. It will always bring a sense of enthusiasm and excitement. People like feeling better about themselves, and they are jazzed when they start getting more accomplished with less effort. The third thing to do is to implement the morning meeting at your workplace. This begins the process of including everyone on the journey. The morning meetings are about setting the expectation of continuous improvement, beginning with simply asking for a 2-second improvement from everyone. The first task of improvement will be the bathroom. Did you think I was kidding? The bathroom is an easy first step that is visual, and everyone has to use it at least 3 or 4 times a day. The very next day after your first morning meeting, start with the morning walk to see how everybody is contributing to the process of improvement. After you have been at this for about a year and you feel comfortable with the morning meeting and the improvement walk, and after you have created a lean bathroom, then the next thing for you to consider is teaching lean. Open up your facility. Find out about other lean thinkers in your community and encourage visiting one another. When you begin to open your business for others to visit, you'll begin to learn how to implement lean in a whole new way. Why? Because when your people receive visitors who are interested in what they are doing, they will take a renewed sense of pride in their work. That's the first benefit. When you teach things, you generally have to get a lot better at them. That's the second benefit. And the third benefit is, it's the right thing to do. Helping others and giving back is more important than making money. Being purpose-driven is more powerful than being profit-driven. You will find that the most successful companies in the world have balanced the art of making money with the gift of sharing and helping others. That ethic of paying it forward is fundamental to becoming a lean thinker. So go ahead, take the plunge, and become a lean thinker. The one thing, start small and dream big. The videos I recommend, Lean in a Nutshell PDF. It's actually not a video. It's a PDF that I created, a 1-page document that really just summarizes all the major points of lean. It's a great teaching tool. And the second one, Lean, Use Your Head, Not Your Wallet. That's a video. I think you're going to really like that one. Chapter 12, Extreme Lean. There is nothing casual about a successful lean culture. The commitment needs to be 1,000%. When this drive for continuous improvement takes an emotional hold of the leadership, I've heard it described as extreme lean. Extreme lean is when the leadership of an organization is consumed with eliminating waste through continuous improvement. As Carl Waddenston said, we are at war with waste. It is an emotional and gut-level connection with the desire to see anything and everything with an eye towards simplifying, improving, and eliminating waste. Recently, I visited a facility that had been practicing lean for 3 years, and the culture felt, well, flat. There was no excitement. I learned that the executives only decided to try lean because their competitors were practicing lean. So these executives tossed the concept to their mid-level managers and said, hey, do this lean thing. They basically washed their hands of any responsibility of how to implement lean principles. They were only committed to lean in regards to how it would support the bottom line. And as a result, they had a flat, uninspiring culture. Sure, they were making improvements and we saw examples of 3S-ing, but it was vastly different from the passion I've seen in Japanese companies and a select few in the United States. As a leader, you must be fully engaged with your people in the process. Otherwise, lean will look like the flavor of the month. Just another business tool to be pushed aside when management returns home from the next business conference. Most leaders do lean because they think it will make them more money. Only 2% of lean leaders create dynamic lean cultures based on growing people and not the bottom line. Extreme lean is felt in the heart and the head. A great example of extreme lean is a Japanese company called Molten. As we toured their facility, the president showed us a particular manufacturing cell where they were obsessing over eliminating 1/6 of a second in a 1 minute process. I stood there with my jaw open, realizing just how sloppy I was in implementing lean. These people chase waste like my dog chases my cat. When I asked the president if he was stressed, he replied, "If you are Japanese, you do not know this word. The Chinese are 2 days away from us by boat and 2 weeks away from the U.S. If we don't chase waste with this level of passion, we will not have jobs." Where did I get this intensity about becoming lean? It started at the Hawks plant in Japan. When I saw what that company accomplished, against all odds, something in my gut tripped like a wire going live. I immediately knew I wanted this for FastCap. The spirit, the energy of that place inspired me to imagine my company going to levels I never thought possible. Since that experience, my commitment to follow through and helping others to see the power of lean has never wavered, not even once. Remember, the Hawks tour happened after I had languished in lean limbo for about 5 years and was looking for why I couldn't get lean to take on a life of its own. If you are not passionate about improvement, you need to keep studying, watching, and learning, and trying baby steps until you get your wire tripped. At FastCap, we had one employee who was harder to convert to lean thinking than most. One morning, he was particularly frustrated with all the time we spent on our morning meeting and the improvement walk. "Paul," he said to me, "we can't afford to spend all this time improving. We have too much work to do and we'll never get it done." I said, "We are an extremely successful company. Do you know why? Continuous improvement. Your job is not to produce fast caps, but to improve the process of how we produce fast caps. And your production concerns will take care of themselves." One of my lean teachers had a conversation with a Toyota executive about all the bad press from the lawsuits and the allegations of stuck accelerators and faulty brakes. The executive did not resort to victim language, but simply lamented that some people in Toyota had become complacent with their success. They had lost their passion, their drive. My sensei Brad of the Brad and John fame from Chapter 2 described the effects of a lean culture as analogous to wild Mustangs. I swear his eyes were blazing when he described this. Wild Mustangs, free from fear. They drive themselves from an instinctive gut level as though their lives depended on running. The full effect of creativity coming alive in people is as powerful as a herd of wild horses. The trick, of course, is keeping those horses running and free. There is never a time when it is okay to coast. This is extreme lean. Just before the economic crisis hit in full stride in 2008, I began to see troubling signs all around me. I saw companies that have been very successful and responsible in their financial dealings begin to teeter and crumble. As you know, FastCap is heavily dependent on construction, and next to real estate and banking, you're hard-pressed to find an industry that was harder hit by the recession. At this time, we were doing well. We were in what we call crazy lean mode, meaning we were riding high with company morale, great profits, and international expansion, and a very enthusiastic team of employees. Improvements were happening every day at all levels. Business took a downturn by 25%. Really good people and smart businessmen closed their doors. I decided that it was not the time to coast on our good fortune. If we wanted to escape the perils of the bad economy, we would need to stare it down and dare the recession to touch our shores. It was time to commit to full battle mode. It was time to go extreme lean. This is called operating from a position of strength. Why should we wait for bad times to put on our battle dress? I gathered my employees and began to brainstorm with them about our battle plan. We came up with three goals. Goal number one, we will survive. Goal number two, there will be no layoffs and no salary and pay cuts. Goal number three, not only will we survive, but we will prosper through the recession. The first action item was to scrap my dream expansion project. I had set aside $5 million towards building a newer and bigger facility that would be a gleaming icon of our success. It was gut-wrenching to give that up, but we all decided the money needed to stay in our hands as a reserve fund. There were too many landmines in the economy, and any one of them could blow us up. Saving money, not spending it, was the prudent thing to do. My friends and business associates could not believe I would stop this project midstream. The next thing we did was to recognize that even with the 25% decline in business, we should cut our budget another 25%. We made all these cuts without touching salaries, pay, or jobs. We slashed our advertising marketing budgets in half from $500,000 to $250,000. Most companies do the opposite during bad times because conventional wisdom is that in order to stay afloat, you have to spend a higher percentage of your income on promoting yourself and aggressively wooing customers. We cut spending in absolutely every department by 25%. No department felt picked on or singled out. We all carried the same burden. This is what extreme lean looks like. Even though we were already a model lean company, we knew that there was waste everywhere and we were determined to find it. We were committed to carrying out our mission of continuous improvement on fewer resources in order to survive and prosper through the coming storm. Remember, we were already crazy lean. Instead of going in with the spirit of resignation to face the bad economy, we charged forward, determined to improve, to do more with less, wild mustangs of creativity and innovation. Just as I have come to expect, our lean determination paid off big. Something miraculous happened. Our business did not fold. It did not even suffer. Every department found creative ways to cut spending while still finding improvements. My marketing and advertising people created better, cheaper, and more effective advertising campaigns. They accomplished more with less money. Imagine that. From this experience came a favorite motto for our company. Money suffocates creativity. When money is no object, we abdicate our most powerful resource, our ideas. It just gets too easy to throw money at problems, and yet we see time and time again that money often creates problems rather than solving them. For example, it used to take us sometimes days to create a single video to post on the internet. We believed we needed to have all the right video equipment and a dedicated video room. That was the biggest waste of money this company has ever had. Today, we can consistently produce videos with five separate scenes in under 5 minutes. This includes shooting the scene, editing and trimming the scene, inserting the scene, applying a music track, adding titles and captions, and starting the upload to YouTube. That is unbelievable. If you want to see it happen, go to Lean Videos and watch How to Make a Lean Video and the review of the best cameras to get the job done. I would normally say it's so easy a child could do it, but kids are great at technology. Instead, I'd say it's so easy a 7-year-old could do it with no technical experience and could learn to do it in under 5 minutes. Since we think lean, we have removed the barriers that typically hang people up and make the seemingly complex accessible to everyone. The real prize came when we actually met our third goal, to prosper. As a consequence of so many other businesses closing in the construction sector, high-end equipment became available at a much lower price. We were buying up equipment at half the market price and sometimes even less than that, which enabled us to comfortably expand our business. As a result of our expansion, we hired more people and ended 2009 as one of the most successful years in business. During the most difficult economic downturn for our industry, we actually had one of our most profitable years ever, with more jobs created, not less, and with excellent wages. That's the rewards of going extreme lean. We will weather anything that comes our way as long as we resist the temptation to become passive in our success. The one thing, we are at war with waste. A little anger and passion amongst the soldier towards the enemy won't hurt a thing. Lean Videos that I recommend, the best camera.
Thank you for listening to this episode of our podcast. We will be really thankful if you support us by clicking the link in the description so that we continue to create amazing content for you.